Yeah, I mean, true
okay, we are in Kufid Beis Halachat Es. We're going to do just the Ramah today. The Machaber had spoken about how to make Bishra Yisrael, or Pas Yisrael, and the Ramah sticks in Ve'nafach Be'esh. If you blow on the fire, have a kichitui, it's as if you stoked up the coals. Mm-hmm. One of the ways to make Bishra Yisrael, Pas Yisrael, is to blow. Was to stoke the coals. So the Ramah says that if you blow, that's considered awesome. Okay, now if you read this din, it seems very straightforward. If you blow on the fire, it's like you stoked up the coals. It seems just like an example of a thing, but in fact, there's a little more to the story than that. And lo and behold, it is in fact the din of it is negeh lamaisa to people who work in commercial kashrus. Okay, which is like this. This Ramah that says that if you blow on a fire, it's kechitui, is not did he say by himself. The Beis Yosef in the next sentence, Kufid Gimel, brings it from a Maril. Okay, now the Beis Yosef doesn't use the Maril's name, but he says Motzasi Kosov the following thing, and in fact it's a truth in the Maril, but the Maril says like this. The Maril was asked whether blowing on a fire makes it Bishri Yisrael, and the Maril says
like Bishri.
Or Pas Yisrael, okay. Whatever.
Well, right now we're doing it all together. Right?
These are the dinim of how you create either one of those things. In Kufid Gimel, we'll find out that some of these don't work for these, but right. We're assuming that everything works.
That's
for and he says, I have a raya that blowing is considered like you did it, because the Gemaras and Baba Kama say that if a bird blows into a container and breaks it, okay, or if an animal blows on something else and ruins something, that's considered tsrairis. Okay, it's considered the mazik of tsrairis. So the Maril brings a raya like this. The Gemara says in Baba Kama that if an animal blows onto something else, that's considered tsrairis. And the Gemara, in describing how that mazik works, that if you blow on something else, it's considered a mazik. The Gemara makes a point that if the mazik of tsrairis, the Gemara is thinking about the blowing per se, tsrairis has to be considered. Tsrairis means the animal kicked something and the things went flying someplace else. So the Gemara says that tsrairis is considered that the animal did it itself, even though it's removed from the animal. Says if it wouldn't be considered the koyach of the animal, it wouldn't consider gufoy of the animal, you wouldn't be chayiv. You're not chayiv for the mazik of a behemoth, hamazik, if it wouldn't be the moment itself that would do the hezek. So therefore, the Gemara says, no, tsrairis is considered as if it did it itself, even though the rocks are far away from the animal. And then the Gemara says that blowing is considered tsrairis also. So the Maril says, so you see that blowing, even though the destruction happens, you know, 6 inches away from my mouth, even so, it's considered as if I did it myself. It was it was done by Gufay.
Hey, blowing, or it says coal?
Blowing.
Not coal of the cell in a
plant. It's coal.
That's another case.
It's all the same. He brings
it
the
blowing, right? Too.
He brings blowing also. He brings that right also from that case of breaking the coal. But the Maril's point is, just like over there,
I do case on random.
Just like the Gemara over there says that tsrairis is considered gufoy, and blowing is considered tsrairis. So blowing is considered gufoy. So that tells us that if the yid, I'm putting some words into his mouth, but if the yid blows on the fire, it's considered that the fire was blown by the gufoy of the Jew. So the Jew blew on the fire. We don't say that the fire just got stoked by itself. The blowing relates back to the yid. Okay, now. If we look at this,
what do we see if we have kochel for this?
That's exactly what I'm getting to. He's making this assumption. He's sort of like assuming that I have to prove to you that if the blowing is considered gufoy, and therefore it's gufoy, therefore you consider yuchayev. Okay? That's as if to him a chiddush. You need a riot to that kind of thing. We on our own would have not felt like that. We would have said, look, the guy went over, he blew it. Even if blowing is not gufoy, but everybody knows that the yid blew the fire. That would be enough. We would have thought that would be
enough. I think the chesh is that the blowing is enough of a chitoy to count for something.
Oh, so that's the second part. Hold on 1 second about that. The first part of the Maril Shtus says that, no, the fact that blowing is considered gufoy makes it that it's Bishri Yisrael. As if to imply, if blowing would not be considered gufoy, it would not be Bishri Yisrael. Okay? So that it could be, about this part, it could be that he's just overdoing the raya. I mean, the person asked the question, and he's answering something that would have been obvious, even without rayas. But don't have a right to it. And if you read the wording of the Maril, the way the person is, the Shiloh, this part is not in the Beis Yosef, but if you look in the Maril itself, the way he asks, the person is the Shiloh, is that, I don't want to bother you, and I'm so sorry to have to ask you a Shiloh, and then he writes back to him, and oh, I would never even think to answer your questions, except you're so big, I don't need to answer your questions, but now that you told me I have to, so what can I do? I'll have to answer you. So maybe he's like overdoing his answer also. Maybe at the end the answer was obvious, like, of course it worked. And maybe just bring the riot to something that didn't need it. You could say that. Let's
why,
not go
why would like to try this? Would it make more sense to go to an example of Eish? Which would be like Eish HaMishum Chitzon.
That one.
Huh? That it's related to the person, just like you have a bow and arrow, right?
Eish HaMishum HaMayin, Eish HaMishum Chitzon.
So therefore, you are standing here. And then you have a relationship to the goat.
So it's a good question. We're going to maybe answer that question in a minute, maybe. Yes. But he's picking this example. The reason why he's picking this example, because that's a Gemara about blowing. The Gemara there says that the animal blows, it is Tzroiris. In the same Gemara, it says that Tzroiris is considered Gufoi. Yeah. So the word is blowing is Tzroiris, and Tzroiris is Gufoi, so blowing must be Gufoi. So therefore, it shows that I just
blowing.
He talked about the blowing, that's what he's focusing on. That's what David mentioned, the second part. The second part of the Maril says, this is not going to get to last week. The Maril says, you should know, when you blow that fire, you have to blow it enough to make the flames get big enough to do more cooking. To speed up the cooking, but if the flames don't speed up the cooking at all, it doesn't count.
That's
okay. That's the second thing.
It's just for a second.
But he said that's the second thing the Maril says. But the documentary over there says it's not true. He says that's Lashitas, Tysus and the Rosh. He doesn't use the sort of the Tysus and the Rosh who hold that the Yids has to throw something into the fire that makes the cooking go faster. But we passing like the Rambam that you could do even a kisim, any kind of a hecker is enough, so you don't have to make it any faster.
That's what the Rambam means here, then.
That's why the Rambam maybe is
right, that's what I'm saying.
Another one of making it
faster. That's right.
Excuse me.
Rambam.
Kisim also works because it makes it fast.
Okay, that we talked about last week. Okay, you'll listen to the video. So that was last week. That's a throwing in that he throws in. It happens. So the Dr. Moshe says, don't ignore that part of the Maril. That's what he says. Ignore that part of it. Okay.
Okay. I have a therapist.
So the back to where we were, the Maril is making it, the simple reading is as if that you need a raya that blowing should be considered that I did the action. As if not for the fact that with blowing is considered gufoy, you wouldn't be chayev. Okay? Which gives the impression.
That's strange.
Which therefore, for that reason, because of this, you would say that if a yid, listen, two examples. If a yid lights up, turns on the timer that makes it, that every morning, we have the hot water by us, that turns on with a timer. Well, it used to, okay. If you set a timer that says the oven should go on every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, so they could bake, so it's assumed that that is not enough to create Bishri Yisrael, because what the yid did is so far removed from the turning on of the fire that that's not considered gufoy. Which is not, people don't, I don't know if they know it from this Maril, but the Maril who seemed to need a raya that it has to be gufoy to make it like you did it. If it's too far from gufoy, then it doesn't count.
People have tried that.
The fire is there already. You want to miyach the fire to you, so you need a gufoy to Israel.
There's
over here, right. He is lighting the whole fire.
Okay, so you're saying in the case where I turn on the timer, it's even better.
Yeah.
Because there, since I'm the one who made the fire totally, so then it's...
It's my fire, again.
So you could say that. The only
there's no fire existing
the
only,
then. Right, so in the case we put a timer on,
right.
You did so much. Here you did so little. Here all you did was... make the fire a little bit bigger.
That was a delay of 6 hours. It's not a direct turn on now.
Right.
This is time that in 10 hours, my kayak should go working. Who says the basketball pass out?
The other thing is maybe you don't need gufoy. Maybe you don't need gufoy when you're doing such a significant thing. When you're just being machata, then you need gufoy.
Yeah, but
when
you're doing the actual fire. One of miach is a fire to me. It's not to the pool of the fire. Okay. Only better than my fire.
The only question on that, you have a point. The question on that is that it would be fine if you did everything. But the lamaisa is that after you did your thing to get the fire going, the goy is going to put the food on. The goy is going to do everything else.
So the goy holds that learning the fire is only based because it's like being mechata.
No. Blinding the fire is actually better than being mechata. But in this case, it's not like the goy didn't do anything. The goy is also doing big parts of the cooking also. So okay, but yes, you could possibly say that. That putting the timer is better than what we're doing over here because it might not be so miyuchas to what I did, but I did such a significant amount. You could say that.
Right, especially by Pash, you're going to have coolers.
Okay, another example is, what happens is, this double won't have his kash on, his tine on, is what happens if you go to an oven and you raise the thermostat, okay, and the fire is already on. Okay, when you have something on a thermostat, I mean, it's set for 350, so the fire is on and off, different times, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. If the flame is on right now, and you raise, the flame is on, and you raise it from 350 to 400. So, what have you done? All you've done is you made that, theoretically, the fire will stay on for longer.
And it'll cook quicker.
But you've done, theoretically, you haven't changed the fire.
You have a question on the shoe?
I do. I hold up my question.
So change the thermostat and just make it to a higher temperature. So now, if you would let the thermostat go its way till it actually got to 400, you could say yes, you did something. But let's say you don't. This is what I've seen people do. Yeah, it's at 350. They turn it to 400. Leave it for 5 seconds and put it back to 350. Okay. So what they did when they adjusted it, when they turned the knob to 400, what did the guy do at that point? He made it that theoretically the fire will stay on longer. I mean, right now the fire is going to stay on for the next 2 minutes because till it hits 350. By turning the knob, I made it that in theory it'll stay on not for 2 minutes, but it'll stay on for 3 minutes till it hits 400. But I turned it right back. So what I did was just a theoretical, and like a maybe I could somehow do something. I didn't do anything to the fire. Even if it waited to 400, you could question it. But for sure, if I just turn it on for 2 seconds, that doesn't work. You're really supposed to do the other way, which is when the fire is off, then you raise the thermostat. So then, of course, the fire will go on. And then the fire goes on, now you've done made it.
For example, something's baking, started to bake, and the guy turned it on. Turn it off, sit, let it sit for 5 minutes.
We wait till the flame goes out. Wait till the flame, till you see
the flame goes out.
See the flame go out, and then turn it back on.
But if it's an electric one, you're not going to see a flame.
Whatever it is, whatever
you
takes
wait a few
to get
minutes, yeah.
Okay, now. But the question that we really want to talk about is a question from Rabbi Kuber. Okay, this is his question. The Gemara says that if you have the Gemara uses in a bunch of examples, we're going to use one of them, that says that koyach, when we say something as a koyach of a gavra, a person did something that only relates to the direct result of what he did. Okay, the Gemara's example is, if there's a dam full of water, and I take away the one side of the dam, I break one of the walls in the dam, and the water comes pouring out. If the first flow of water lands on someone and kills him, I'm chayv for doing that.
Right.
If a later flow of water lands on the person, I'm not chayv. Why? Because the first flow is considered, I pulled it out, I caused that water to come out. Mm-hmm. The water that flows later is not... And by the tefillah, I have that also. So it's not considered my... It's not my doing, it's a second... It's the second flow. The koyach sheni is not considered the koyach kavra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, that would mean is, let's make a pretend example. If I, instead of blowing on the fire, I would blow on something, and that would blow on the fire, okay, somehow I would do an indirect blowing on the fire, not directly blowing it. I did something that blew on something else, that would be considered.
If I turn on a fan, and then the fan gets moved or something like that, that blows on that.
Then that would not be considered, it would be koyach sheni, and would not be considered koyach kavra. Okay, well, this theoretical case is not theoretical, because when you turn on a big boiler, what happens is, when you push the button on the boiler, that does not light the fire. That's not what happens. When you push the big boiler, it takes about 2 minutes till the fire goes on, because during that time, first it sucks all the air out of the boiler, then it goes through different safety checks, it does a whole bunch of things. After it's done all the things that it has to do, then ta-ta, the fire goes on. Okay? So that is to say, what I did was, I, by pushing the button, let's say, for example, sucked all the air out. Once the air is all sucked out, the computer says, okay, now do the next step. And then do the next step. And eventually, after going through all these things, then step number 10 is turn the fire on and make the fire go out. So his kasha is that should be a koyach sheni. I only did one thing. I did the first step, I did step A. I didn't do all the other steps. I didn't do the steps down the road. They're only koyach sheni. Yes, so this is it's very related to that. Yeah,
what
do
you say?
Oh, right, cause and effect, that it waits, delays.
Very much related, yes.
Shabbos more ovens, or Hamden and everyone else?
Yes, I forgot to write it down. We'll get that in a second. We're pulling. Yeah, correct. Okay, so now, if his question is right, if he's right with his question, then the better thing to do is, instead of turning on a boiler, would be to make it higher. Because once when you make it higher, once it's on already, making it higher makes it go on roof like that. According to him, according to this question, mm-hmm. what we do would not be, we think it's better to turn the boiler on. He's asking that turning the boiler on is worse. He thinks that turning the boiler on is worse, not better.
Right.
Okay. So now, I'm going to give you two answers. You'll hear from the answers. I'm giving them very brief. Okay, both of these answers come from Rosh Hechter. He has in one of his
Svarim. I don't understand what it means to koyach sheni. It's like a delayed reaction.
Okay.
But what does it mean to koyach
sheni? Not direct.
That's not true. But you do the first step. The first step causes the second step to happen. Right. The second step does it.
Each one rolls into the next.
It's like throwing a rock at a coconut tree, and the coconut goes.
Right.
I know something.
It's not considered.
Elstak.
That's not considered that I did it. You can only cut off the shechita. That's not considered that I did it. So when the bird blew, the bird is in the, what he just said is, if someone throws something at a tree and it hits one branch and that branch falls and hits another branch and the thing that falls hits the guy on the bottom, okay, I'm not connected to that. It's cut off shechita.
So,
okay.
Okay.
That's second word is a makas.
So Zion? So
no, it's
there.
But it's
there
also.
Charis is called Claire's got Claire's name. Okay, sit down. Rav Shechta has
this respiration.
Rav Shechta's one of his songs called Ikve Hatzayin, and in there he has a whole piece about this grammar. Okay, and I'm going to tell you two of the things that he says in there. Okay, which and three things that he two of the things that he says over there, which answers Kash. It happens to be that I called him. I called him this week just to ask him what he thought about it. I heard this from him in other contexts, not about what we're talking about, but he agreed that they answer this question. You'll hear what he says. He had two answers, okay? The first answer is from a sefer called Eretz Tzvi, okay? I can't even pronounce it. Kasha Klover. I can't pronounce it. One of Rabbi Shechta's favorites.
Kasha Klover. Kasha Klover. Eretz Tzvi from
Europe. Right, from Europe.
One of Rabbi Shechta's favorites from Poland. And he says from Magen Avraham. He says from Magen Avraham like this. He says from Magen Avraham like this. If a person, the only time the Gemara says that Koyach Sheni is not the same as Koyach Rishon is only when the thing that happened, the water flowing out of the dam, flowed out of the dam on its own strength. It flowed out through, we'll go through gravity. There's pent up energy waiting to come flowing out of the thing. So all I did was hasaras hamani. I just pulled away the thing that was in its way and let it fall out. So in that case, my connection to the action is weak. The action was really going to happen by itself. I pulled the thing away that let the action happen. So then the first thing that happens is considered mine, but everything after that is really, it's doing it by itself. The water is pouring out of the dam, or the fruit are ready to fall off the tree, not because I pushed them off the tree, they're just ready, they're just, by their own strength will fall out.
Ready to go.
So then, or the first act, if the Koyach Rishon does it, that's considered that I did. If the Koyach Rishon is considered I did it, but anything after the Koyach Rishon is done. But what happens if I get something going that would have never happened without me? There's no way it could happen besides with my starting. Then no matter what happens, is miyuchas to me. He says in the Indian, making tzitzis. Okay, you have to do, parts of tzitzis have to be made by a person.
Shmo.
So then he says like this, if I start the machine that makes the tzitzis, we don't say, only the first one that gets spun out is considered my tzitzis.
Matzah.
Or matzah, same thing for matzah. All the ones that come in that machine are miyuchas to me because that would have never happened. It's not like the machine doesn't run by itself. Someone's got to start the machine. This is Hashita. That's what he holds. That's considered all the Koyach. The only time we say Koyach Sheni doesn't count is only when the Koyach Sheni is something where the thing is really happening by itself. The water flows out, not because I made it flow out. I didn't push it out. It flowed out by itself. I just pulled away the thing that stopped it. Okay? That's when there's a difference between Koyach Rishon and Koyach Sheni. But in our case, the boiler would have never started. Boilers don't run by themselves.
Okay, when you throw the dirt and hits the ta'ina and this and that. The ta'ina is not ready to go down.
The ta'ina falls onto the floor. I didn't push the ta'ina onto the person. It fell by gravity. I mean, all I had to do was just disconnect from the tree.
Another thing, the ta'ina was it's not going straight down. It's going that way because the energy of the...
No, when I threw something at the tree, right. And now the fruit that falls down...
It's not falling down. It's going that way. Straight
he changed the direction of gravity too.
So that's another gemara about that. About the guy who threw something up was mazik, but he was mazik straight down onto the side. That sometimes it is considered, sometimes it's just pure gravity.
Right.
Sometimes it's not pure gravity. So he'll have to say that the gemara, which is not clear about that, is talking about that it fell in a way that it's just plain old gravity.
Straight down.
Straight down. Well, in the case of in Makkas, it's in a branch and then...
Rukh Matsuya, maybe it blow it a little bit.
According to this, it would be considered.
I hear this
now, he has another answer.
And this is based on the.
Who has another?
Rabbi Shechter. It's been on the
Kosher
Club.
The other answer.
Was his last name?
The other answer.
He's a Rosh Hashanah of Chachmei Lublin.
The other answer is from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, in the Sefer Al-Rambam, says like this. That din. That you need to have koyach gavra, that only and the koyach rishon is the only thing that counts.
Mm-hmm.
That then is very specific. It's only by three things. We had misa for ritzach until it's one, for tiras yadayim and for shechita. Okay? For those things, we need that not only is it done by the person, but it's what he calls, Rabbi Shachter calls it, koyach gavra. It's the person's action. So the koyach rishon counts as the koyach gavra. But for most dinim, you don't need to have that. It just has to be connected to the person, what he calls a maisa ha'adam. Okay, I'm not sure what the difference is, but a maisa ha'adam. The maisa ha'adam is enough to make it considered more
than a lafuke maisa kos.
Correct. So the Gemara says that Sroiris is considered that the animal did it, or if I would blow, it's like, I did it. But even if it would be a kind of shame of my doing, it's still considered that I did it. Certain dinim have an extra requirement that they have to have the Kerech Gavra, that only the Kerech Rishon counts. But for most dinim, you don't need to have that. You just have that I did it.
Based on what? Those three.
Why are those things different? Right. So he has right. And I'm not going to tell you either of these. I don't know enough, nor are we going to have time to explain what the reason
is. Right,
each of these things, each of these shitas, each of these people have their reason for saying it.
Okay? Go through
I'm not trying to. I'm not going to be able to explain. We're running through this quickly from that side. There are two different chazanishes, each that hold of these shitas. Okay? They're not talking about these, but Bishlam, obviously. One is in Arachayim and one is in Baba Kama, who hold like these two different things that I just told you from Rashach. They happen to be the chazanishes of each of them. I'm just saying it to you that it's answering the kasha. And it's giving us an understanding for why Lamaise everybody does this. That's what we do. If a guy turns on a boiler, we would say that he did it, even though it had to go through all these steps. We wouldn't say that it's not a Kayach Rishon, that's not good. Either because Kayach Rishon doesn't make a difference over here. The first answer is Kayach Rishon doesn't make a difference because I set the whole process in motion, and that's so everything in the whole process is miyuchas to me. That's one answer. Or the other answer is that the whole din of Kayach Rishon doesn't apply in these cases. For very specific dinim, to shech, you have to have kerech rishon. But for everything else, you don't have to have kerech rishon. Okay?
If you have a choice now, what would you suggest? What is better?
Light the boiler.
Either to increase it or to turn it off and on.
I would light the boiler. I would go with what we thought an
even
hour
better.
Ago. It's better to light the boiler.
No one's going
to
question that it's not better.
Well, Rabbi Cooper is saying, it's only kerech sheni, so maybe it's better
to light it. To do both.
Just making it bigger.
Raising the flame.
So do both.
Do both? Okay.
But I'll light that.
Then you're going to already be down there. Do because
I would still vote at this point for the lighting, the whole boiler. Like David said also, when I light a boiler, there's an extra mile, which is that I made the whole fire.
Right.
Now, maybe we're making a mistake here. This whole thing that we need, try to connect it to the person, is because I only helped the fire. I just did this minor adjustment. But if I made the whole fire, it's like easier to see that thing is considered my
very good.
It's okay. There's an extra, you do what you like. That's how I would have voted.
I mean, but either way would be...
Seriously, policy.
Maybe you're right. You light the fire, then you wait till it goes up, and then you...
Just leave it?
Okay. That's a kind of everything. Then I'll shoot this.
And I have to just...
My throat was asked about, of course, since we're not...
Well, the parachute is correct.
So obviously we see there's a difference between corruption.
So that's a question. How that fits into this whole thing. It's a question. How that fits into this whole
right?
thing. Okay. Now I have to just tell you before we move on to the next part is that now that I've told you these answers, now you might go back and ask me about putting on the timers, and what was the other case we had? Putting on the timer was I don't know the other case yet. Oh, and just turning the dial on the temperature thing, that maybe those things now should be considered, if I just told you you don't need such kerech gavra, maybe you can get away with those things also. Because now you have to reconsider those cases also. Okay. But let's move to another thing about boilers. While we're talking about boilers, this is the best place. We'll do it briefly. Another thing about boilers.
We had a restaurant that kept arguing with me about Bishul Yisrael on a time clock.
Okay. Fine. Okay, now, it's not accepted.
No.
Okay, now. There's a question about boilers.
They wanted to do a time clock. Mm-hmm. And we say no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to...
Stood up first.
We know that if you light a fire, or even if you fan the fire or blow on the fire, then that fire is considered... Anything cooked in that fire is considered Bishul Yisrael. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, a boiler seems very different from those cases because when you light a boiler, okay, what do you do with a boiler? Nobody cooks hot dogs in a boiler. What do they do? The boiler creates steam, and that steam goes all around the plants and cooks food other places using the steam. But nobody cooks with the boiler itself. So how does it help? Or is it right to say that, just like if I light a fire and I cook in the fire, it's Bishul Yisrael, so too if I light a boiler, that it's Bishul Yisrael also? I'm not cooking in the boiler. The fire that I lit or the fire that I adjusted
No one's cooking with that fire. No. They're cooking in a kettle that's 5 feet away from here. So the cooking is over there. The cooking is with steam. I didn't make the steam. I made a boiler. So is it right to say that we're saying that if you light a fire, that spiritually, the food in the, cooked in that oven is spiritually strong? Good. But what happens if you cook in a boiler? It's not, you don't cook in the boiler. You just cook with the steam that's made by the boiler. So how do you, is it right to connect that and say, since you lit the fire, then this thing's cooked with the steam is also spiritually strong?
Well, yeah. Now, when you say cooking with the steam, the steam is what's cooking it? Don't you have already, we talked about steam needs to be visual. You're talking about the electric.
Let's see, no, unless you have a kettle. A kettle.
Yes.
And the kettle is steam jacketed. Yeah. So the soup is cooking in the kettle because of the steam.
Okay.
But it's not cooking in the fire. No one put a pot of soup. No one put a pot of soup into the oven. Someone put a pot of, the soup is in the kettle, which is, it is using steam from the fire to cook in this kettle. It's not cooking in the fire that I made. I understand that,
but it's the same thing with Reb Chaim was saying. It doesn't make a difference how many things it is, but I'm the cause of effect, and it came through my koyach, my original doing it.
You want to say,
it's not a problem.
Okay, that's a good point. You're saying is that, let's say the steam is not my doing. Let's say the steam is not my direct action, but it's an indirect result of what I did. So you're saying, just like we said over there, that it's a koyach sheni of what I did. So this is also a koyach
sheni. That's what the dirt requires. I mean, that's already.
That's very interesting.
Oven.
I didn't think of that.
When you put something in an oven, you're not cooking it over the fire. You're using the heat of the fire in the oven.
Good. Okay, so let's say.
They were using the steam to cook, but who cares where it is?
That's a good answer. I'll get that. That I thought. This one I didn't think of. Okay. So let's go through three possibilities. The first is, Rabbi Shachter, when he first heard this question, was like, he says, you're right. Taka doesn't do anything to touch the boiler. That was his first reaction. Was, it's Taka correct.
You're right.
You're lighting the fire in the boiler. If you want to cook in the boiler, fine. But if you want to cook someplace else using the steam, at first he was not so thrilled.
He's got to be direct.
He later came around to hearing Rabbi Kinnack's answer. Rabbi Kinnack.
Rabbi Belsky.
He's coming third. Rabbi Kinnack.
Belsky who was out of town. He was in Camp Aguda.
Rabbi Kinnack said.
He's in the summer.
He said, the question is correct, that I'm not cooking the fire at the boiler. I'm asking for that. He says, but this is sort of what Yankee said. He said, it's the steam is made by the fire in the boiler. So it's like an Eish Mei Eish. The guy is cooking with a fire that we call steam. That's his fire. And that fire came from the Yid's fire. It's an Eish Mei Eish. So the Yid light a fire. The Yid lit the fire. And the guy took
not
from that.
Eish Mei Eish, it's not a good.
Okay, but we do it. We were signed up on the shul in the factory. So he says it's Eish Mei Eish. So that's where we can answer to the question. And he's agreeing to the question that it's like a different fire. But this fire came from that fire, which is sort of what you're saying. That I did this, which caused that, which is a...
I'm just using the lundus from Chaim.
Okay, fine. Rabelski didn't like the whole question.
Using a lundus to cook.
Rabelski didn't like the whole question. He said...
Lundus
what David said, which is that the... Really, it's the heat of the fire in the boiler that cooks all the food in the plant. But for efficiency, instead of bringing the soup and putting it into the boiler... It's more efficient, and it just works to have one big fire in one place, and then you spread the heat through this thing called steam. Steam is just a way to get the heat from here to there. Mm-hmm. But really, we're using the heat of the oven. That's doing the cooking. Uh-huh. And the way it works is, instead of having little fires all over, we spread the heat from one place, we spread it all over through all these different pipes to get it to different kettles, using steam as a nice way to, an efficient way to get it across. But really, we're using the heat of the fire. He didn't say it as dramatically as you, but you're really right, which is in the oven. When you're in an oven, you don't have the fire right under the food. The fire creates heat, and the heat in the oven cooks the food. So here, the heat of the oven travels through these pipes and gets stove there and cooks that, and we use water as a nice convenience to get from here to
condensation.
Here. For whatever reasons why it's efficient. Okay, that's it. Now, but there's a nafkamina between these answers. Okay? Now, I'm going to just mention you a nafkamina between the answers. What happens if you have a factory that has two boilers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, and the shiloh is going to be is what happens if one boiler was lit by the yid and the other was not? Okay, now that's not very common that you'd light one. Why would you not light the other? It means is what happens if you lit both and then one went out? One was closed down. Okay, they did service on one of them. So now one was lit by the yid and one was lit by the goy. Is the food cooked in that factory bishul yisrael? What would you say?
Oh,
the food that's cooked by now. It what happens in a factory is all the boilers feed one main pipe called the header. Okay, the one main pipe for which branches out all over the plant. So the steam from the Yid's boiler and the steam from the Goy's boiler come together, and together are cooking all the food in the plant. All the food that they made is being made by a mix of these two boilers. Okay, so now, according to Rabbi Kinnack, the fire of cooking is the steam. That's the fire that's cooking. And that fire was partially created by Yid and partially created by Goy. Okay, that's fine. A Yid doesn't have to make the whole fire. The yid made a little fire, and the guy did all kinds of things to make the fire bigger. Mm-hmm. It's partially a yid. The fire is the steam is the fire.
Correct.
And that fire is created partially by a Jew, partially by a guy. That's fine. There shouldn't be a problem there. According to Rabbi Belsky, it's not as clear, because the fire that's cooking the soup is two different fires. It's not the steam that's cooking them. We look at it as the fire in this boiler and the fire in this boiler. There are two fires next to each other, so to speak, that are cooking the food. One is a yid's fire, and one is a goy's fire. We don't have a din that those two, if you put the fires next to each other, that's considered bishul yisrael. We have is if the yid and the goy build a common fire,
or they
each participate in making the fire, that fire is now, we've made that fire be a yid's fire. But here, we have one fire that stays a yid's fire, and one fire that stays a goy's fire. Because we
come together.
According to him, what's going on is that the together is just there's a convenience. We put the pot over two fires at the same time. That's what we did.
So the yid is being mishtatev and cooking the thing.
Usually the yid makes that fire into a Jew's fire. That's what he does.
But he's part of the cooking.
Why is it in the
It's part of the cooking here. Who cares? Who cares if one end goes? But it's together with the yid's fire.
So you're saying it. Maybe you have a point. You're saying it's like he's being machata.
Too much of a lundus that he's
like being machata. Let's be machata. So it's a goy's fire.
He's being moisif to that heat.
Okay. Good point.
I just think it's too much of a lundus. Okay. After a while, you can't have a lundus of soup. And I was talking about Chaim soup. We're having a lundus of soups over here, and how the bishul works.
So since he participated somewhat, it's like that. Okay. Yeah. What you said about the glow plug, there were those who said, for this reason, that the glow plug has to be part of the main fires. If you have a goy's fire and the glow plug is on the side, is not connected to it, lots of people are not comfortable with that, because if the goy's fire is the goy's fire, and you're just running like your own little fire on the side. But here it's a little bit better than that, actually, because here the fires equally participate and really do the cooking together. And maybe that's how Yankee said. Lamaisa is the yid's cooking and the goy cooking together. And if the yid has any part in the cooking, it's like stirring the food. If you stir the food, it's also bishul. So even though the fire stays at bishul.
Okay. You learn from this one thing. America eat kosher foods is eaten with lundus. I mean, all baba kama. It's half for full. Baba kama.
In Mitzvah Shem, in the late halachos, we're going to see more about how boilers make bishul. So there's more to it than that, but that's
okay. Next Friday, God.